Okay. Before I saw the clerk, the answer, Radhiji was asking, you always talk, you hear, not always, in this context, I don't talk about after death what's happening, I don't talk about, because there's no relevance for that. After death, some people go to heaven, enjoy the other pleasures, I go to Pitriloka, that did not talk about. I go to hell also, he's talking about it. I don't talk about it because my focus was only to make you understand what Maya is. I only just brought in the death point just to tell you how you are, what happens after death, if anybody wants to know. How you are in sleep, so you will be in death, which means nothing happens to you. You are safe. The same way, after Mahapralaya also, even though it is incomprehensible for us, after once in four years, because it happened, you don't even know what it is. Even after Mahapralaya also, if at all this everything is going to resolve also, and you will be safe and comfortable and, you know, there exactly how you are. Okay, the question of coming back into this world will be definitely there as long as ignorance is there. And in this Janma, in this very present life, having got the human sharidam, if you already a lot of punya must be there even to touch Gita to come to the classes. But because the punyam, now because the shraddha in, now you know, see this all, our classes are not for simple people who want to time, pass the time. Really, it's for serious people. Okay, life is very precious. We do not know how long we are going to be alive. Every day, every minute, Bhagavan has blessed us is a bonus. Okay, we do not know. It is for serious people. If you are convinced of the fact, yes, mokshaha means happiness, nothing else. And happiness, in happiness, there is fullness, there is absolute peace. That is what is actually sought after. Through all the arthakama dharma pursuits, moksha is the ultimate choiceless end, for which what I need is only jnanam. Not I at that time say, because ajnanam is the cause of dukkham, means cause of the sorrow, means jnanam is the only means, and that jnanam, that knowledge of Bhagavan, knowledge of the truth, actually you don't need to go and do anything else, just discovering first of all your own swarupam. But be convinced of your own swarupam first and see how that swarupam of yours, which you discover, you arrive at as the pure consciousness, and the reality, the formless abstract reality in terms of its nature of knowing, which you arrive at it, that reality is the really meaning of the word existence also. There is no existence sat other than chit. Understand, and this sat, chit, which is the sat, is definitely how time-wise limitless, how it is spatially also limitless, how absolutely limitless, has to be understood. We are convinced, and it is this knowledge of the truth in which you really cognitively resolve you, the I sense and the jagat, and you see what is actually there is only the Swarupam Bhagavan. Everything is the truth. And it is this knowledge only in this repeatedly, not just simply understanding. Shravanam will help you understand, but repeatedly dwelling upon this fact. Even one must be able to dwell upon this fact repeated. That's not, that needs different bent of mind, disposition of the mind. You can dwell upon, you can ascertain, and definitely you see there is fullness, there is happiness, and that is unafflictedness is happiness. Really speaking, that is what is fullness, isn't it? Understand this. This is how there is a freedom. Then you understand, you will see this just the reality. There's no. You can't something countably, there's something called power of reality sitting apart from reality, next to reality. Okay? Just even though in the temples we have personifications, Parvati sitting beside Lord Shiva. But really speaking, that inseparability of consciousness and matter alone is in fact symbolically expressed through the Shiva Lingam. The Avadaya which stands, isn't it? It stands for the vital cause. And the Bhanalingam stands for the intelligent cause, the inseparability of the two causes, the parana para prakritis, is revealed symbolically there. Therefore, there is no such a thing. What is there is only the reality. If you understand what the reality is, there is no such thing called power sitting separately outside. You understand what amazing, when you see the fire, How many things are you seeing? Are you seeing fire and its power separately? You see the fire as a fire, that's not just what is fire. When the fire goes and burns everything, oh my God, look at the power of fire. It's your appreciation. Look at the power of fire, what capacity of fire, what it can do. You just there, what is it? Just the fire alone is there. In the appreciation, how it is this power, amazing fire, power of fire, it has burnt everything. In the same way, you appreciate what is only knowledge. That is why, you know, there is a time the power remains, the knowledge remains as pure knowledge. There is a time, there is manifestation. And why it happens, that is the nature again. Okay, this reality is always there, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, all pervasively, independently. But there is a time, there is a manifestation. And we call that becoming manifest and becoming unmanifest is what is the power of reality. Which is otherwise called Maya. Amazing, because we look for it, you can't find it. Understand? And when there is manifestation, there is Jagat. When there is no manifestation, there is only pure knowledge. Okay? The pure knowledge is there. There is no I, there is no this, there are no those, that these divisions are not there. Okay? When you understand what that reality is, there is no Maya. Is it clear? There is no avidya. There is no ignorance. Only knowledge. And you can see the same knowledge being manifest. All that is here is also only knowledge. You can say that. Then that definitely that is there. To understand, it is this power of reality. Because of which this manifestation. Because of just this, again, Jagat becomes unmanifest also. Isn't it? Here, naturally there is a half manifest. It's naturally the highest form of manifestation is only in the human mind. The human being alone has the privilege of being able to discover the truth, making knowledge whole, complete knowledge. At the same time, human being alone has become the victim of what? The problem of being ended with the half knowledge. The error also is possible. As I explained the very first day, in total knowledge, there's the right identity. In total ignorance, there's non-identity, there's no problem. In half knowledge, wrong identity, which is a problem, isn't it? Therefore, that is why, along with the human beings, timeless scripture, Veda Shastram also is there for us, the manual for us, isn't it? Like IKEA sends manual for every product it sends, Bhagavan has sent Veda manual for us, isn't it? To understand what a human being is, what the world is, how, why things are, you know, like this, how to handle them, what to do with this, how to resolve it, how to live your life, how to prepare your mind, the whole thing, everything is taught in the Veda Shastra, isn't it? What we are doing. Veda Shastra, Vedanta Shastra Shravanam. Shravanam means it is not like Katha Shravanam. It is not like any other Upanyasa Shravanam. Not listen to lecture. Repeatedly listen to the same thing, repeatedly, systematically, regularly. The teacher does not change. Teaching does not change. The subject matter does not change. What changes is your capacity to understand changes. Which means that your mind becomes subtle and subtle and subtle, and suddenly penny drops. Thinnest and thinnest and thinnest layers of vagueness will resolve. You see this gradually clarity enhancing. Always is enhancing clarity in the class. That is why people come to the class. How long should they study? Swami said lifelong. Mm-hmm. Lifelong means what? If moksha doesn't happen this janma, pick up the thread from where you left your last janma, you continue. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's what we are already doing now. He said, why there is delusion? Here, we don't need to feel guilty, don't need to feel, we can understand why there is guilt, why there is hurt, what is guilt, what is hurt, what is jealousy, what is hatred, what is anger, what is pain, isn't it? What is pleasure? And what is desire? What is raga? What is desha? Why they are all there? Everything you understand here. When you're understanding, that's why it's not, it's like, in fact, Swamiji used to say this, not Swamiji, generally Swamiji, Shastram also, that's why we have to understand. Somebody has a headache, or a stomachache, or a backache. Person tells you. What do we do? Oh, you have the pain, have this tablet. People are very generous in giving panadols or paracetamols or painkillers. Something they will give generously because they maximum they express their kindness and love by giving you panadol or paracetamol, a cup of water. There's expression of really genuinely they mean. They give you, but they not at all offered even a tinge of it. Not at all touched, tainted by your pain. They're very objective towards your headache or backache. They leave the headache with you. They don't take it as, your back is aching, my back is aching, my God. Nobody takes it. Really, if you have to give your backache to other person, nobody would come near you. Okay? In the same way, if other person goes through some, there will be jealousy or hatred or anger, unresolved issues may be there. Just as physical pain of other person is very objective, in the same way other people have emotional problems also. We are very objective towards the physical problems, but we are not objective towards others' emotional problems. Other person are in anger, or in hatred, or in jealousy, or in some fear, some anxiety. Behaves funny, you know? There's a funny behavior on the part of the person you find. When you see the person's behavior is not okay, you can, this is poor. That person, some back pain when you see, this is some problem with the mind, isn't it? The same can be there on your for you also. You also may go the same problem. Behavior is not okay. What you should do? Don't curse the person. Don't blame the person. Don't find fault with the person. The person's behavior is completely, purely governed by the person's mental condition. So be objective. Then you don't need to feel offended or afflicted by that. You don't need to internalize other person's emotional problems. Without having any hatred towards the person, without being reactive towards the person. Why you are behaving like this? Without saying anything. Just allow the person to be the what the person is. For time being, when you are safe, you are not afflicted, isn't it? Not afflicted. We are very objective towards the physical problems, but we are not objective towards the emotional problem. It is a sickness, and it is not the other person is sick. We also become sick some other times. Nobody is free, isn't it? Different, some other time, when other person is sick, you seem to be healthy, and after 2 days, you become also sick. Isn't it? So it's very natural. If you can understand other person's problems, and you will know how to manage your problem also. So at least you help other people do not become victims of your problems. So, in the 28th verse I said, see, punya karmanam yesham papam antagatam, for people, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, when people discover the self being free from doership and enjoyership, understand the nature of the self being actionlessness, when the identity is with Atma, they see that they are free from the notion that they are doer, free from the doership and enjoyership. Where is the punyam? Where is the papam? So no sanchita, no agami, no karma. Isn't it? Not because they have exhausted all the papams, because of their objective, because of their perspective change, they see themselves being already free from punya papams. And such people, they what? They discover Bhagavan as their Swarupam. Thereby, this is how they reach Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. And other meaning is, people having Purushartha Nischaya, knowing the value of the knowledge and being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, living a life of karma yoga, so having managed their ragadveshas and emotions, being relatively adequately pure and steady, and being firm in their commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, and they aspire purely for the knowledge of the truth. Mam bhajante means, then naturally they grow out of desire for other ends. See, for somebody to become totally committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth, to become committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan, only Bhagavan I want, only Bhagavan I want to know, only Bhagavan I want, only Jnanam, for such commitment for a person to have, it is not difficult. One must have grown out of desire for everything else. One must have become adequately dispassionate. The dispassion is something, expression of one's maturity. One must say, naturally growing out of desire for everything else, not out of frustration. How? Knowing the limitations, that definitely what I am seeking in my life is moksha, the freedom. That is possible only through jnanam. Nothing else in the world can give, because everything else in the world is fine, beautiful, and can enjoy. But knowing the limitations, they are all time bound. So they cannot give me what I am seeking. This is the fact we have to discover. In fact, Mundaka Upanishad makes a very special slokam for this, mantra for this. You know that it says, the whole life you live enjoying objects, experiencing situations, and then the life has served its purpose. You know, really you can be considered an intelligent person. You have intellectually sharp only when you are able to learn from your own life's experiences. What is the big lesson you learned from the life? One important lesson every human being, intelligent human being, supposed to learn from one's own life's experiences, at least after having gone through grihasthashrama life for some years. See, you are very sharp, even after living for a few years, 15, 20 years, you have learned a lot, you are sharp. At least, even after getting married, you know, having children, doing grihasthashrama life, definitely one must have learned. Some very mature, very sharp, you learn much before. Otherwise, at least after going through grihasthashrama, at least after becoming grandfather, grandmother, what is that important lesson one should learn? Shastram says, doesn't matter whether you have learned anything else or not. Parikshalokan karmachitan Nirveda Mayad Brahmanaha. Brahmanaha is the one. See, the word Brahmana has different meanings, different contexts. In this context, the word Brahmanaha means the one who is mature, one who is indifferent, which means mature means the one who has, one who is intelligent enough, sharp enough, shrewd enough to learn from one's own life's experiences. And discovers the fact everything in the world is impermanent. Nothing is permanent. What I am searching for is permanent happiness. How can the impermanent give me the permanent? How can the ephemeral, time-bound thing give me eternal, everlasting happiness? Which means, what is that which is timeless? Which alone will give me the timeless? Let me aspire for it. The attention turns from the time-bound to the timeless, isn't it? It is this change, shift, is what? Is expression of one's is the expression of dispassion towards other things, not out of frustration, born out of understanding of the limitations of everything in the world. This is called Vairagyam, isn't it? And once it comes, then the person, how, for which you must live, have lived a life of dharma. See, why a person should live a life of dharma? One of the reasons is that living a life of dharma means you are not disturbing the order. Even though I'm a tiniest being in this world, even my small action, wrong action, does affect the universal order. And that, and the order is just in keeping with the disturbance of the order. How much disturbs the order, so much I'll be disturbed sometime later. So I can't help. That's why law cannot fail. Dharmaha rakshati rakshitaha. Dharmaha na rakshati na rakshitaha. Dharma protects you if it is protected. Which means if you live a life of dharma, you are not disturbing the order, then order will not disturb you. If you disturb the order, you will be disturbed by the order. That is the order. That's how Bhagavan is. That's one reason you have to live a life of dharma. And second reason is, only when you live a life of dharma, you will not be a split personality. If you are living a life of dharma means, you know what is right and wrong, naturally. And you are making use of your will to do the right means. What you speak and what you do are in alignment with what you know. The integrity. There is no split personality means, you are less conflicted person, isn't it? There is no conflicts in the mind. The more you are free from conflicts, the more you are calm, more you are disturbance-free minded, agitation-free minded, so you will be qualified for, you will be mentally subtle enough to understand things. Second reason. Third reason is, even for the intellectual sharpness, so emotional stability and intellectual sharpness also, living a life of dharma means you have to live your life consciously, alert. So all the time being alert, and conscious of what you're saying, what you're speaking, you're offending or not. You know the strain. There's no strain here. It's not strenuous at all. Just being conscious. Is it prudent in what you're doing? So we are more alert. In being alertness also, you become intellectually sharp. Is it? That's so. Then, once the sharp means, your subtle means, dispassion, discerned dispassion will be easier. Otherwise, it will be dull. We will not disturb. You know, even after 80, and then we will be thinking of eating ice creams and small, simple masala dosa plushes, we will be interested in that. You don't need to deprive yourself of anything else, but still, people will be craving for ordinary things also in life, even after certain. Which means nothing wrong, you are a baby. That's all Shastram says. You can't afford to be innocent, naive, or so, isn't it? For a certain age, okay. Anyway, so what I want to say here, that is why dharma is emphasized so much. Okay? Dharma anushtanam kimartham. That is the reason. So here, that's a person, naturally what now? He seeks me. Bhajate means he becomes committed. Then Bhagavan becomes the soul, only object of, he aspires for Bhagavan. That's what he says. That's called punya karmanam jananam antagatam papam dundamoha nirmuktaha mam dradavrathaha. Firm in their commitment, they seek Bhagavan. Two meanings, okay? One for a jnani, one for a karma yogi. As a jnani, one becomes one with Bhagavan. As a karma yogi, one becomes committed to the pursuit of Bhagavan. Two meanings. Okay.
Jara marana mokshaya.
Jara marana mokshaya.
Mama ashrit ஜராமரணமோக்ஷாய மாமாஸ்ருத்யயதந்தியே தே ப்ரஹ்ம தத்விதுஃ க்ருத்ஸ்னம் அத்யாத்மம் கர்ம சாகிலம் தே ப்ரஹ்ம தத்விதுஃ க்ருத்ஸ்னம் அத்யாத்மம் கர்ம சாகிலம் ஜராமரணமோக்ஷாய மாமாஸ்ருத்யயதந்திதே தே ப்ரஹ்ம தத்விதுஃ க்ருத்ஸ்னம் அத்யாத்மம் கர்ம சாகிலம்.
இட்ஸ் எ பியூட்டிஃபுல் வர்ஸ். பகவான் சம்மரைசஸ் நவ் ஹீ சேஸ் மோக்ஷாய ஏ யதந்தி. ஏ இஸ் எ ரிலேட்டிவ் ப்ரோனவுன். தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ, ஏ மீன்ஸ் தோஸ் ஹூ, ஹூஎவர், பீப்புள் ஹூ யதந்தி மேக் ஜெனுவின் அப்ராப்ரியேட் அடிக்குவேட் எஃபர்ட்ஸ் ஃபார் வாட்? மோக்ஷாய, ஃபார் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷிங் தி அப்சல்யூட் end in terms of freedom from limitations, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow, freedom from bondage of karma. Okay, choicelessly we are pushed into this world, we are born, and this birth, the choice of this death also is there. In between birth and death we go through the paths of opposites, helplessly, choicelessly going through the paths of opposites in terms of pain, pleasure, loss, gain, victory, defeat, etc. And therefore there's always this continuously we are never happy. There's some pleasure, there's a pain, again pleasure and pain. This is how life is. And this is choiceless, doesn't come to an end. Again there's another janma, again there's another janma, again there's another janma. Because sanchittam is always there, beginninglessly. Always only one portion of sanchittam is exhausted as prarabdha. While exhausting the parabdha, new agami is accumulated. It is an endless karma bandha, bond is endless. And here, in this bond, in this life, there is no life of pain. There is no life of only pleasures, definitely. So here, this moksha, freedom from unhappiness, that is happiness. For this this moksha is accomplishable right now in this very life. Jeevan eva muktihi. Jeevan eva muktihi praptum shakyate. Isn't it? While living, it is possible to discover this freedom. Only then videha mukti is possible. Isn't it? Knowing this fact. And those people who make appropriate, adequate efforts for freedom from limitations. மோக்ஷாய, மோக்ஷ ஃப்ரம் வாட்? ஜரா அண்ட் மரணம். ஜரா ஓல்ட் ஏஜ், நோபடி வாண்ட்ஸ் டு கெட் ஓல்ட் பட் யூ காண்ட் ஹெல்ப், இசன்ட் இட்? ஜரா மீன்ஸ் ஓல்ட் ஏஜ், மரணம் மீன்ஸ் டெத். ஐ டோன்ட் வாண்ட் டு கெட் ஓல்ட் அட் ஆல் மீன்ஸ் யூ ஷுட் நாட் கெட் தி பாடி அட் ஆல். ஒன்ஸ் யூ கெட் தி பாடி, ஐ வாண்ட் த பாடி பட் ஐ வாண்ட் டு ஹேவ் எவர் 16 பாடி, தட் இஸ் நாட் பாசிபிள். Jara Maranam. If you, people who seek freedom from old age and death, includes what? Old age and death, two words, upalakshanam for Janma, Maranam, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkham. sorrow, limitations, everything. Therefore, people who, for the sake of accomplishing, discovering freedom which is already there from this old age and death, those people who make appropriate efforts, ye yatanti. Okay. So, jara marana mokshaya. When they make appropriate efforts means, what effort, how can we say that they make appropriate efforts? For jara marana moksha, for freedom from limitations, for freedom from old age and death, for freedom from the hold of pairs of opposites, for freedom from all emotions, you know, that, for freedom from the hold of fear, anger, just except for everything, for freedom from sorrow, unhappiness, if they surrender to Bhagavan, depending only on Bhagavan, Mam Ashritya, for freedom from limitation, for freedom from bondage, who are you dependent on? Bhagavantam Ashritya. Mam Ashritya means depending only upon Bhagavan. Bhagavantam Ashritya, depending only upon Bhagavan, those who make efforts. So depending only upon Bhagavan means what? Knowing the fact that Bhagavan is the truth, and that discovering the truth as one's own Swarupam is the only means of being free from limitations. In the knowledge of the truth as the only means of moksha. The problem, the ignorance of the truth is the cause of samsara. Knowledge of the truth is the only means for moksha. Knowing that, being committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth is being dependent on Bhagavan for one's moksha. Okay? Being committed to the pursuit of the knowledge of the truth as only means of moksha is being dependent on Bhagavan for moksha from the limitations in terms of old age, death, etc. Sit here. Jara marana mokshaya mam ashritya ye yatanti. Having me as their only goal in life. Having me as the only source of happiness and security. Me means what? Bhagavan. Having me as the only source of security and happiness. Having me as the only truth. Having me as the only means of moksha. Those who make appropriate efforts in terms of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. If they are not yet ready for jnana, in terms of even living a life of karma yoga and living a life of dharma, having proper appropriate efforts implies doing the needful. Isn't it? Doing the needful, so living a life of dharma, being worshipful, being prayerful, having proper attitude towards everything, even life of karma yoga, to prepare the mind, and apart from that also being given to study of the Shastram, listening to the Shastram systematically, regularly, competent teacher also, and with the Shraddha, the Shastram is the only Pramanam. Like being given to this proper disciplines, given to the appropriate disciplines also. That's what is adequate, appropriate efforts. So, ye yatanti. Those are appropriate efforts for freedom from old age and death. Those people, te, ye yatanti, te viduhu. Those who make efforts, they know. Those who make efforts will not attain. Bhagavan does not say, promises. Those who make efforts, okay, having Bhagavan as the only source of knowledge, security, happiness being dependent only on knowledge of the truth as Bhagavan, and those who make adequate efforts for freeing themselves, for freedom from bondage and old age, such people, they definitely know, they discover. What do they know? Brahma. They understand Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. They understand Nirgunam Brahma as the truth of Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, the whole, Bhagavan, the whole. Okay, te viduhu means they understand. They understand whom? They understand Bhagavan, the whole. The Bhagavan, they understand the truth being Bhagavan. They understand Bhagavan, the truth being the whole. They understand Bhagavan Surupam, the Nirgunam Brahma, as the truth of the whole cosmos. Te Brahma Viduhu. Why do you say all these things? Because there's a word Kritsnam. Kritsnam Brahma Viduhu. They understand Ishvara in its entirety. Understand Sagunam Brahma Ishvara being the whole in their entirety. They also understand Nirgunam Brahma Chaitanyam being the truth of Ishvara, the whole. Is it clear? Brahma Vidhu. Kritsnam Brahma Vidhu. Kritsnam means entirely. Understand Ishvara in its entirety. Completely understand it. There's no doubt at all about Ishvara or the truth. But how do they understand that Brahma? They understand the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is of the nature of timelessness, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, imprinted with the term Brahma. How do they understand? They understand that Brahman, Adhyatmam, as their own Swarupam, as the very truth of I, as the Swarupam of the knower I, Adhyatmam. See, it makes very, very complete. Not anywhere else. Where do they understand Bhagavan? Where do they understand the truth? Brahma. Not anywhere else. As the very I, as the very Swarupam of I, as the truth of the knower. I am not saying Adhyatmam, the word tells. Adhyatmam. So Brahma, Kritsnam Brahma, Tad Kritsnam Brahma Te Viduhu. Katham, how to understand? Adhyatmam. Adhyatma means as the very truth of I, as their own Swarupam. Those who make appropriate, adequate efforts for the attainment of moksha from old age and death, they discover that Brahma entirely, that they discover the Bhagavan, the whole, Sagunam Brahma. Understand? They discover the truth of Bhagavan, the whole, implied by the term Brahman, as their own Swarupam in their own mind. Adhyatmam Brahma Te Kritsnam Brahma Viduhu. They discover that Bhagavan, Bhagavan Swarupam, as their own Swarupam. Not only that, Karmacha Akhilam. Akhilam Cha Akhilam Karma Te Viduhu. Add the sentence. Te Akhilam Karma Cha Viduhu. And they also know the entire the course of karma. And understand even what is Sanchitam Karma, what is Agami Karma, what is Parabdha Karma. Okay? What is an action? What does the word action mean? What is action? Why there is action? Is it? And when does, what is the nature of the action? What does it do? How the result comes? How the results will resolve? they understand even the all about karma in its completely. People who understand karma are free from karma. In fact, for you want to be free from anything, understand what it is, you are free from that. This is secret. Understand what desire is, you are free from desire. Understand what anger is, you are free from anger. Understand what karma is all about, you are free from karma. So, you don't need to go and separately understand what karma is. In due course of understanding what this truth of the whole, which is given the Ishvara title, which alone is in the form of everything, the whole, the most intangible, subtlest reality of the whole, is there shining as the grossest universe also. And that reality, is really Impavitam Brahma, that they discover as their own Swarupam, Adhyatmam Te Viduhu. In due course of time, they also understand what karma is all about. They understand everything about karma. Karma in its entirety becomes understood. And you'll ask, what is karma? Who has karma? You can be very objective towards everything. There will not be need for anyone to internalize anything. Isn't it? That is why yatanti is very important verb here. Those who make efforts means, what do they make efforts? Let me go for meditation classes. Or do yogasanam. Or do pranayama. Or sing bhajans. Or fast. Ekadashi, dwadashi. I tell you, we are not undermining anything. Everything is very, all the religious disciplines, all the disciplines, rituals, we call it Vaidikam karma. Religious rituals are different forms of worship or the pujas, whatever you do. And even all the disciplines you follow, the penance you follow, everything is meaningful, useful, important. It's all for your own mental preparedness. Anything you do is ultimately for preparing your antahkaranam for jnanam. You should know that. But all of them you follow living a life of dharma. The proper attitude also. Whatever I am doing, ultimately I am doing this for preparing my mind for jnanam. That is when your actions become offered to Bhagavan. Ishwara arpitam bhavati. And whatever comes also, definitely 100% I am sure, whatever comes I deserve, therefore it comes. It's all, there is a cause behind it, there's the appropriate karma phala. Karma phalam alone is coming now, as this situation, what I'm going through, nobody is responsible for what I'm going through. It's all ordained by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, where everything is prasadaha. The prasada buddhi is also there. You'll have all strength to accept everything equanimously. The prasada buddhi also be. With this, now, if you're living, appropriate efforts means it all will work when? Only when you are strictly following this, given to study of the scripture called Shravanam, listening to the unfoldment of the words of the Shastram regularly, systematically. Doesn't matter how much you're covering, how much your understanding is important. Recently I heard Shringari Acharya somewhere saying, even it doesn't matter, if you want to finish, I want to read so many verses, finish. Don't be in a hurry, Acharya was telling, don't need to finish reading. How much I cover completely is not important. How much I have understood is more important. If you learn 2-3 verses, doesn't matter. You see, you understood it. Arthanu sandhana purvakam patet. அர்த்த அனுசந்தான பூர்வகம் படேத். பீயிங் மெடிடேட்டிவ் ஆஃப் த மீனிங் மே ஒன் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வாட்ஸ் யூ சிம்பிளி மெக்கானிக்கலி சாண்டிங் ஆர் கம்ப்ளீட்டிங் அண்ட் ரஷ்ஷிங் அண்ட் பினிஷிங் இட். ஐ ஃபினிஷ் ஆல் த 18 சாப்டர் சுவாமிஜி. We do chanting. Okay, that's good. That's a discipline. Even Gita Jayanti day, Gita Paranam people do very good. Very, very good. We have to do all that. Any Paranam is every Paranam. Any Paranam chanting, Shloka chanting, Mantra Paranam, Tamil Tirumari, Odal, everything is very, very good. Understand everything is karma. Any karma you do is for Antakarna Shuddhi, Antakarna Naishchayam. Any karma you do will be effective. It becomes a yoga. It contributes for mental preparation. It serves a mental preparatory discipline. Only if you practice it with the purusharthasya for jnanam, for Bhagavan, no, for mental purity and steadiness. Otherwise, it becomes a mere exercise or punya karma. It doesn't become yoga. If purusharthasya is not there, commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge is not there, it will become a good punya karma. It will pave way for antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam. Only then you can call it a preparatory discipline. Only then it's called yoga, karma yoga. Isn't it? So it's all fine. That's why listening to the unfoldment of the words of the shastram systematically, regularly, for length of time, from a competent teacher is very, very important, which is also appropriate effort. And then suppose you were already very clean and steady and ready, listening is enough. Listening itself in due course of time will bless you with the vision. But you are not ready, prepared enough. You know, some patibandhas are there, obstructions are there, parabdha problems means, then you have to re-listen to what you have heard. Re-listening means we have to relive the shravanam. And see that you really understand, and you see that your doubts are all not there, the doubts are also resolved. In those days, manana means, fortunately we don't know many people. See, people may come and confuse you, okay? Come for vipassana. Nowadays our poor pakshas are different people. We don't have sankhya, philosophers, ayayikas and coming and disturbing us. We don't, who exists here? So, we have so-called, there are so many good religious organizations in the world. And all of them they all mean well. Everybody is very pious and good and very, very goody-goody nice people. Everybody is nice. But highly, you know, confused, isn't it? Unintentionally, isn't it? They are not well-meaning, confused people, good people around us. They mean well, but they come and try to tell something. What all they see on YouTube, what all they hear and everywhere, which are lectures they listen to, they may come and tell you everything. And you must not react immediately. Whatever they say, with all patience, bless them, okay? With the patience, we have to smile at them, listen to them. It does not hurt them, offend them, because they are well-meaning good people. Smile at them, but you must be strong and convinced. Whatever you say, nothing will go and hit me. It is Shravanam I need. Only Shastra Shravanam alone I need. Shravanam alone will help me resolve my ignorance. Shravanam is the only sadhanam for ajnana nivrittihi. For resolving ignorance, Shravanam is the only means. I need to, from the scratch, systematically, regularly listen to the unfoldment of the scriptures in terms of Bhagavad Gita, or not one adhyaya, one chapter one day, other chapter one day, one verse somebody talks about, or WhatsApp messages comes. No. Mm-hmm. It is systematic, regular, steady. Shravanam, in due course of time, gradually it will help me resolve my ignorance. Isn't it? And after that, if at all doubts I have, doubts should resolve. If at all any doubts there, again relive the shravanam, again re-listen. Until you are convinced, you are clear, re-listen. I finish one Bhagavad Gita, I finish one chapter. What else to do? Don't go back to first chapter. Okay, go back to introduction to Bhagavad Gita again. Re-listen. I finish second time also. Again go back. If you are convinced, if you finish Bhagavad Gita means already free. Then you can say Udapani. Isn't it? Yavanartha Udapani. Then you can throw away the books, okay? But until then, redo. Fifth time I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. Fantastic. Do sixth time also. Seventh time also. You know? Not only Bhagavad Gita. Keep on listening. Re-listen, re-listen, re-listen until the clarity dawns. Until doubts resolve. We don't need to feel shy at all. 17 times Gajini Mugamata. Doesn't matter. We can do even 19th time also, 100th time also. Repeat and repeat and repeat until clarity comes. Not so mechanically chanting the shlokas. Really seeing what Bhagavan says through these words. It is mananam, is it? Then when you are clear, this is what Bhagavan is. This is what the matter is. This is what the reality is. This is how the consciousness is. This is what I is. This is what the Jagat is. Everything very clear. There is Jivaha, Jagat, Ishwaraha, all essentially one. Becomes very clear. No doubt at all. Then repeatedly dwell upon that same fact which you are 100% clear. That is why the dwelling upon constantly, continuously, dwelling upon the fact which you have clearly understood is called contemplation, which happens to be mental, purely mental activity, it is meditation. That is why in Vedanta, Shastram, meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is for preparing the mind for knowledge, which is not an end of it, it is not an end. Okay? And in that meditation, object of meditation must be something which symbolizes Bhagavan, but you can't meditate upon anything whatever you want to meditate. And in that meditation, you are the meditator, object of meditation is different from you. Meditator, meditated, difference is there. Meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is for as a preparatory discipline for mental steadiness. You can practice meditation. So generally acharyas, we all recommend japa. Some japa. It is not the end of everything. So before jnanam, whatever meditation you practice also, it will not take any distance from where you are in terms of your clarity. Because you don't know anything. How can it go anywhere? Isn't it? The Swami says, before meditation, you were restlessly ignorant. After meditation, blissfully, peacefully ignorant. Okay? You are restfully ignorant. That's all. You will not become wise overnight. Meditation will not make you wise overnight. Therefore, please understand. For us, for jnanam, shravanam is the sadhanam. After shravanam, is it? Repeated listening will help resolve the doubts, which is called mananam. And when you are clear, your meditation practiced after attaining clear knowledge is alone what? Contemplation. Only then you know what to meditate on. What is to meditate on, you know. Before jnanam, you do not know what is to meditate on. Isn't it? How can you meditate upon something which you do not know? You don't even know who Bhagavan is. Isn't it? So meditating upon Bhagavan, not knowing who Bhagavan is, a humbug. Isn't it? Therefore, you understand what Bhagavan, is, what the truth is, what your nature is. It is how to meditate, what is to meditate on, also you will understand only after properly studying the Shastra. It is called Nididhyasanam, and that is not for the knowledge. Meditation is not for the knowledge. Meditation is for assimilating, ascertaining what you have already known, understood through Shravanam and Mananam. Is it clear? That is what is contemplation. And then the contemplation also helps you ascertain the vision of the truth you already have, which is freedom, which you don't attain freedom. You only just take ownership of the happiness, the fullness, the freedom which is already there as your own Swarupam, which is Bhagavan Swarupam. It's called what? Appropriate efforts. Lodi Yatanti means appropriate efforts, adequate efforts. I can go on and on about it, but I don't want to do too much. So, Jara Marana Mokshaya Mam Ashitya Ye Yatanti. Those who make appropriate efforts depending upon me, having me as the goal, having taken refuge in me. Now, it is knowledge of the truth which is Bhagavan, only means of moksha. With that understanding, those who make appropriate efforts, those people definitely then they will not fail in attaining what? They will definitely attain. Te vidhu, they know tad brahma. They understand that absolute reality, ultimate truth, which is of the nature of limitlessness, therefore implied by the term Brahma, which alone is there as Ishvara, as Paranapara Prakriti, which is Nirma, whole Jagat also. That Brahma Te Viduhu, not as an object, not anywhere else, as the very Self, the very truth of I, Adhyatmam Viduhu. Brahma Adhyatmam Viduhu. They know the truth as their own Self. And then, in the bargain, they also understand the karma also is entirety, which means the knowledge will be complete. Okay? After knowing which, you not know anything else. For moksha and happiness. For happiness and security, you not attain anything else.
Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Prayana kale pichamam. Prayana kale pichamam. Te vidurjukta chetasaham. Te vidurjukta chetasaham. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Prayana kale pichamam. Prayana kale pichamam. Te vidurjukta chetasah. Te vidurjukta chetasah. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi bhutadhi devam maam. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Sadhi yajñcha ye viduh. Prayana kale pichamam. Prayana kale pichamam. Te vidurjukta chetasah. Te vidurjukta chetasah. Ye viduhu, te viduhu. Those who know. Ye maam viduhu. Those who know me. Ye maam viduhu means those who know me. Te viduhu, they only know. Those who know me as what? How do they know me? Those who understand me as the truth of everything. As the truth of the world. The truth of all the natural phenomena known by the term devatas. The truth of all the actions, mundane rituals, sacred activities, rituals. who understand me as the truth of everything. Thereby, those people whose minds are always in me, and those people alone know me. And what are the rituals for? Bhagavan, everything is centered on Bhagavan. The rituals are performed ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. Devatas are invoked ultimately for discovering Bhagavan. And is here is the entire world of elemental model. This whole world is there. Everything is understood ultimately for Bhagavan, for knowing Bhagavan. Everything enjoys its existence in Bhagavan. So everything here is centered on Bhagavan. So here the word adhi. Adhi bhutam, adhi daivam, adhi yajnam. Adhi bhutam, adhi daivam, adhi yajnam. Here, sa adhibhutam, mam sa adhibhutam, mam sa adhidevam, mam sa adhiyajnam. Ye viduhu. So, those people who understand everything as centered on Bhagavan, and on me, the Lord. Sa adhilo adhibhutam means what? Sa adhibhutam mam ye viduhu. Those who understand, it is entire objective, material, elemental world of beings and things is centered on me, the Bhagavan. Adhibhutam. Then adit sa adhidevam mam. Those who understand, and even all the devatas. What is a devata? Every natural phenomenon is a devata. I told you many times the meaning of the word devata. Devaha, devata, divyam, deva, all come the same root. So every inert thing also, anything and everything inert also, which shines means, which is known means what? Any inert thing, it is known means, where does it know? Where is it known? Where does it shine? In the light of consciousness. You miss always, isn't it? Now, opaque thing shines means, what does it mean? Opaque thing shines means, opaque thing is a thing which doesn't have light of its own, can never shine by itself. You know, the opaque thing shines means, along with the opaque thing is available for experience and enjoyment means, along with the opaque thing, what I cannot lose sight of is the light. Every opaque thing, when shines, it is a reflection of light. It is no more opaque. Shining opaque is no more opaque. It is a reflection of light. In the same way, every inert material object which shines, which does not have the capacity to come to light by itself, shines. It doesn't have existence of its own. It enjoys existence and means what? Available for experience. Enjoyment means it is shining in the light of consciousness. That's why every natural phenomenon which is available for experience and perception, enjoyment, is what? Shining means known, means it enjoys existence, means it is illumination of consciousness. Therefore, every inert thing also no more looked upon as a jadam. It is manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness, therefore Daivam. Pertaining to Deva is Daivam, it is Devata. Therefore, all the natural phenomena are Devataha. And even specifically, sometimes some Devata, some powers are invoked here. All the powers, varieties of powers here, they're all manifestations of the only power. And any power invoked also is what? It's a Devata, which is manifestation of knowledge or illumination of consciousness, is Devata. And all these Devatas invoked for specific ends also, the rituals all are centered on me, the Lord. Sa Adi Daivam Mam Yevidhu. All these are centered on Bhagavan. Then Atsa Adi Yajnam. So all the rituals, all forms of rituals performed through, in which we offer oblations to various other devatas also, for specific ends also, all rituals performed. So all the rituals also centered on Bhagavan. So devatas are centered on Bhagavan. Centered on Bhagavan, the entire objective universe, the material element universe centered on Bhagavan. Therefore, Sa Adhi Bhutam, Sa Adhi Daivam, Sa Adhi Yajnam, Mam Ye Vidhu. Those who understand me. Okay. Those Prayana Kale Apicha. Prayana Kale Apicha. Even at the time of death. Prayana Kalaha means, isn't it? Time of, at the time of journey. As long we are living in this physical body, it's not considered time of journey. Okay? We're about to leave the physical body, is it to be the journey? Prayana Kalam. Prayati, we what know, leaves, goes. Prayana, at the time of death. Also, ye mam vidhu yukta chetasaha. Yukta chetasaha means those people whose minds are fixed, are absorbed in Bhagavan. Those who understand, those who know Bhagavan as the one, that everything is centered on that Bhagavan. And those people who remember, think, Prayana Kale Api Cha Mam Yukta Chetasaha, having their minds, all them fixed in me, absorbed in me, abiding in my Sarupam. And those people alone know. Okay, they also understand. Even at the time of death. Okay? They alone, they definitely know me. Is it clear? Clear or not clear? It is not clear? No problem. Now we'll take care of it in next chapter. Sadhi bhuta dhi dhaivam. Sadhi bhuta dhi daivam mam.
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 Sadhi yajnyancha yeviduhu.
Sadhi yajnyancha yeviduhu.
Prayana kale picha mam.
Prayana kale picha mam. vidur yukta chetasah.
Vidur yukta chetasah.
Which means there's no world, there's no yajna, there's no worship, there's no devata, which is not Bhagavan, which is not centered on Bhagavan. And those who know this, thereby those whose minds are always remain fixed in Bhagavan's Rupam, Bhagavan, and those people, Prayana Kale Apicha Vidhu, they, even the time of death, they know. They will not forget. What happens to them after that, that is not discussed here. So,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Tat Sat.
Say no.
Om Hari Om Tat Sat
Tat Sat
Iti
Srimad
Bhagavad Gita
Su.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita
Su.
Su.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita
Su. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su.
Upanishatsu.
Upanishatsu.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Brahma Vidyayam.
Yoga Shastre.
Yoga Shastre.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade.
Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade.
Jnana Vijnana Yoga Nama.
Jnana Vijnana Yoga Nama.
Saptamo Dhyayaha.
Saptamo Dhyayaha.
So in this text, which consists of the teaching given by Bhagavan himself, and the teaching which is not different from the teaching from the Upanishads. Therefore, this textbook itself is what? Upanishadsu Bhagavad Gita Su. And this textbook is definitely knowledge of Brahman, Brahma Vidya, because this book, which gives you the knowledge of the absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Okay, Brahma, therefore it's Brahma Vidya. It's a means of knowledge of Brahman, Brahma Vidya. And this book also teaches you how one should live one's life in order to prepare one's mind for this knowledge. Therefore, it teaches all the values and disciplines, the way of life, because it teaches us the preparatory disciplines. It's also called Yoga Shastra. Okay, Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastra. And this teaching, which happens in the form of dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, in the chapter, here ends the 7th chapter, entitled as Jnana Vijnana Yoga. So, Jnanam, knowledge of Bhagavan being the whole. Vijnanam is knowledge of Bhagavan, the whole, the surup of this whole Bhagavan, the whole being, the abstract, formless reality. Arrived in terms of this nature of knowing as pure consciousness or pure knowledge. Okay? Om
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadayam Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.